It is the return of our good friend and Bloomington City Councilman Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I am great. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming back. We know how busy of a week it is for you. Did you have a nice hiatus?
We had a very good time. Thank you. Yes, we got to visit with our kids. So.
Oh, nicely done. Now, did you?
Yeah, it was great.
Did you fly Southwest Airlines?
No.
Well, you should have, because then you could have taken all those budget binders with you, because bags fly free.
Delta.
Well, we hope you didn't have to pay through the nose on that. But we know that part of the reason that you have been absent is, number one, the council does take a break, and number two, you have been getting ready for the budget hearings that are going on as we speak and will be going on for the rest of the week. Let's just start with the quick thumbnail sketch for those who might not understand the process. What went on yesterday and what's going to happen for the rest of the week?
Yesterday was the first meeting of city budgets, and we will meet tonight, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. We started last night at 6 o'clock. We finished this morning at 12:11, which was the final vote for the Office of the Mayor's budget. And last night we heard, of course, from the mayor, outlining his broad perspective of what he thought the budget should be doing, and talked about the various components of that, which included things like adding police cars, reworking sanitation, et cetera, things like that. Once we got through the mayor's overview, we went to an overview from Jeff Underwood, our city controller, who talked about the financial state of the city and where the revenues would be coming from. And then we got into basically the Human Resources Department budget, city legal's budget, information technology, common council budget, city clerk budget, the controller's office, and finally the mayor's office. So tonight we will hear from the police and fire departments and public transit and utilities, and then on Wednesday we'll move into the housing authority, housing and neighborhood development, et cetera, et cetera. So we're at the point where we're going through department by department of the budget, and the budget is presented by department heads.
Well, and that's why this takes all week, and that's why it's important. And it's important for two reasons. Number one, I'll let you expound on the mayor and his initiatives that we've heard recently and how those are literally going to be paid for. But first of all, when you talk about revenue, and the city attorney talks about that as well, where does that come from? How much do you have? And how do you divvy it up between all of these department heads?
Well, of course, how it is divvied up is, that is worked up between the mayor and his department heads and the various entities that come forward and take from that city budget, city amount of money out there. The majority of the money comes from property tax, but this year, as you know, we're dealing with the local option income tax, and part of the budget is built on that local, that opportunity, which is a first-time opportunity for this mayor and for any mayor at this point. So that's generally, it's the property tax is the biggest component of the budget, revenues coming in, and then now with LOIT, that'll add substantially to it, and which gives us an opportunity to invest in public safety using that money, the local option income tax, which then frees up money to do other things in non-public safety areas. So that's kind of where we're headed with this budget.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say this budget calls for, in the civil city side, $76 million, and from the utility side, $42 million. And 74% of our civil city budget is personnel. So, people on the ground doing the work that makes the city run.
And part of the budget is giving some of those people a raise, and some of the budget is creating newer positions based on some of the initiatives we've recently heard.
That is correct. So, yes, there's a 2%+ across the board for non-union workers. So, union workers are workers who have an agreed contract. They're a different category. But those people who work for the city who are not represented by a union will receive that 2% plus salary increase for 2017. Yeah. It's hard to say that.
It is. It doesn't sound right. It's like you're putting the wrong. No. It's like you're writing the wrong year on your check, right?
That's right.
Just when we get used to saying 2016, then we'll have to get 2017 on there. Another thing that jumped out from one of the proposals was eventually working the city employees' hourly rate up to $15 an hour. Are we going to have enough revenue source to handle that moving forward with the local option income tax and other things, or how does that work out?
Yes, I think that's very doable. Actually, the number of people involved, both in the civil city and the utility side, is a fairly low number.
Tim, explain to me the civil cities and the utility side. I'm getting lost. Is that two separate budgets, or are those just two major components of the budget?
They really are two separate budgets.
Okay.
Because the city utility is ratepayer-based.
Right.
So, you know, you pay your monthly bill, that's what goes towards keeping the utility up and running.
Now you factor in the trash deal with that next year, or this is all new ground, or are you just...
I'm sorry, say that again.
The new trash initiative, does that factor into next year's budget, or is that the year after that? Because that's moving over...
No, the sanitation proposal will be part of this budget. It'll launch it. You know, we're not going to see a citywide conversion to rollouts for every house in neighborhoods this in 2017. It's an incremental rollout of how the sanitation will be worked. But the current proposal that's on the table will use the city utilities billing system as the mechanism for collecting the fee for picking up your trash. So that's an opportunity that the city has to work with the city utility. But those two budgets are very separate. The utility budget is developed by the utility department, and it deals with water, wastewater, and stormwater, and it is reviewed and approved.
We're talking with Tim Mayer, a member of the Bloomington City Council. Tim, I have a question for you, a procedural question. Last night you did the mayor's budget, and after each budget proposal, you vote on that particular budget?
That is correct.
Now, that's not the final passage of the proposal, though, is it?
That is correct. That is not the final. Basically, what is happening is as each department comes forward, there's the department head makes a proposal as to what they envision spending the money for in 2017. The council then has the opportunity, council and I should say the public as well, has the opportunity then to pose questions to the department head about, you know, well, why are you doing it this way? What are the intended outcomes, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And once that questions have been asked and answers have been given, then the council has the opportunity to do, basically it's a recommendation. And so when the vote comes up, the council members have the opportunity to say yes, no, or pass.
Right.
And so you raised the issue of the mayor's budget, and the mayor's budget was presented by the deputy mayor last night. He started at 11:24, and the mayor's budget was the last on the evening's agenda. He spoke and answered questions until 12:10 this morning, and when the vote was taken, there were 9 pass votes. So
now, as I understand it, what happens maybe sometime in October, the city, every budget person can tweak the presentation, and you'll have even a possibly revised stuff coming at you maybe in October?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yes, I'm basically, so we'll use the example of the mayor's budget. We'll use that as the example. So all nine council members pass on the budget. And it was basically because there was a proposal in his budget to create an office of innovation, and council members had concerns about that, about what what that office would be doing and how it would reflect the current offices and opportunities that we have within the city now. I don't want to portray it as a negative vote. It's just a questioning vote. You know, well, how are we going to do this? So now what happens is, once we're finished with all the budget discussion tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday, then people have an opportunity to sit down and talk with the mayor and say, okay, now, really, what are you trying to do with this initiative, and how's it going to affect this and that, and, how does it meld with our ideas? And so you may see in October, when we come back to the final budget, you will definitely see changes in the proposals that are coming from the department heads.
And that's based on the input from the council people and the public.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever turned down a budget? So why are you voting on them? What's the point?
Well,
if it's 9-0 every time, what's the point of voting on them?
I'm trying to search for the answer to that.
let me put it in.
I think budgets have been turned down, but you can't really turn a budget down. You can modify it.
Right. Okay.
So the council has the opportunity to, again, go to the mayor's office and say, you've proposed this Department of Innovation. The majority of us on the council don't. This is speculation here, folks. This isn't real.
This is a made-up story.
This is an example.
All the actors portrayed in this story are not real.
Exactly. but the majority of council members do not agree with your position. So then the mayor's in a tough place. And the council can reduce budget items. So when it comes down to October, the council could say, okay, you're asking for X amount of dollars for this. We're going to take it out of your budget.
But I'm guessing this doesn't happen when you have what is the party line on the council here? 9-0, is that what it is?
Yes.
and the Democratic mayor. I bet back in the day, Tim, when you first got started, when you had sort of a consternation there between parties, I bet it was a little more rough shamble there.
Well, I'm not so sure from my personal experience, having served on the council with, not a majority, but a very close majority of, so a 5-4 split. I served on the council when there's a 5-4 split. We were able to accomplish a lot under those circumstances. So,
well, I'm just happy you were there.
You don't try to equate city politics or city government with national politics or national government.
let me get that disclaimer out there real quick, right?
I think if you ask any council member, why did you run for office? It's the basic underlying answer is going to be, I want to make things better. So all my members are all working to make things better,
and
we all have different perspectives. But at the end of the day, I think we can accomplish a lot, and I think that's how it works. City government is definitely different than state and local and federal government.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. Now where were we? So these budgets, I'll get a look at. You kind of go back and forth to make sure everything's in the right positions. What about the people that say, is government's role really there to create jobs and create positions and keep expanding and doing all that? What's the counter argument to that?
Well, I'm not so sure I have one. I personally see government as doing good things for people and making the community go forward. So, and people who want to cut government, where do you start to cut? And I think the premise that we have for a number of years is, we make our city the best city we possibly can in terms of amenities, so trails, parks, good streets, good sanitation, all those things, put all those things in line, a city that works. And that the premise then is that people will want to move here, will want to live here, will want to work here, will want to create jobs here. That's the whole premise that I think that the majority of people on the council and the mayor's office and in city government want to accomplish. So, when we build a new trail, it's not because we just want to put some asphalt down. It's because We want people to be able to get out and have recreation and be safe doing it. And you know, people will look at that and say, you know, that's a pretty cool idea. So that's kind of the basic underlying tenet of everything we're doing, is to make the best community possible so that people want to live here, work here, and create opportunities.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. City Councilman checks in. It's budget hearings week, all week, last night, tonight, Wednesday, and Thursday. New mayor, new budget, new stuff going on. The transparency angle has been obviously one of his major initiatives since he has taken over office. Some of the budget groupings, is that the word I'm looking for? Groupings, budget headings, budget labelings?
Yep.
They've shifted, kind of moved around. What's the basis behind that? Is this a big deal? What should we be looking for?
Well, what the mayor's said last night, and what the departments so far have been showing, is that they are shifting portions of the budget that have been in certain pigeonholes into new pigeonholes. So I'll give you an example. One is that, for example, the police facility, the building itself, was in a facilities budget, portion of the budget. Now you will see the operation and maintenance of the city police department building in the police department's budget. So it's a little different way of looking at it, but according to what the mayor said last night, is he wants people to be able to look at the budget and say, you know, here's the money that is all the money that is dedicated to public safety in the police department. That includes, you know, the building itself, the maintenance and operation of the building, the personnel in the building, and you know, the vehicles, et cetera, et cetera.
Why was it accounted for differently beforehand? That's the way it was?
Well, you know, for example, police cars may have been in the fleet maintenance or the fleet budget, as opposed to in the police budget. So, and it's just a different way of looking at it. It's not like anybody was playing hide the ball or anything like that. It's just that, you know, there was one administration or previous administration. A lot of the stuff goes back many, many, many budgets as to why things are in various places, but. You know, in previous budgets, facility maintenance included all the city properties. Now what Mayor Hamilton is saying is, you know, if the building is a public safety police operation, I want to see it in the police budget. If it's fire, I want to see it in the fire budget. So
it almost makes way too much sense for me to follow.
I'm sorry.
It's almost... I was almost surprised to learn it wasn't that way.
Yeah. Well, it's just a different way to look at it, I think. And like I say, budgets are, you know, have followed patterns for many years, as the way I guess I would look at it. So it's a different philosophy.
And part of the philosophy of the budget as well is when you lay it out for the first time, do you think we're going to have as many initiatives and changes annually, or is this just because kind of the first 6 months getting all these things going for the next couple of years?
Well, when Mayor Hamilton ran for election, he had a number of initiatives that he wanted to move forward: transparency, high-speed internet throughout the community, you know, go down the list of all the things, affordable housing, you just go down the list. And now what he is doing is he is putting things in place to achieve those campaign initiatives that he talked about. So, and, you know, I think coming back to the mayor's budget that we spoke about earlier, you know, he's put forward a proposal, and council members are questioning that initiative. So that's where the give and take starts to take place.
That makes sense. And the total numbers up over last year quite a bit, and the explanation for that is the public safety tax?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So the devil's not in the details per se, but last year you didn't have that money to operate with. People will say, hey, we got on just great. Why do we need to add that tax and add to the budget?
That is correct. That is correct. And I will say, also say that because of that revenue, what that allows us to do is, again, it's Civil City is $76 million, Utilities $42 million, and 74% is of those budgets are personnel. But with all the expenditures that the mayor and his department is proposing, we still come out with a balanced budget, which does not touch our rainy day reserves in any significant way. We'll leave about a little short of a half a million, $440,000 will be over the budget expenditures. So again, we're not touching the rainy day funds in any significant way.
Are you adding to the rainy day funds?
Adding to it, yeah.
Okay. So, and you're not required by law to have it balanced, are you?
No, we are not.
Okay.
And the other good news is, I might get the number wrong. It's either 4 or 6. I believe we have 6 months reserve in our rainy day fund. So basically, if all revenue stopped coming in, we would be able to run for 4 to 6 months without a penny coming into the coffers of the city. So, as a community, previous administrations under Mayor Crizan and now under Mayor Hamilton, we've been very prudent about how our money is spent and, have reaped the benefit of it. So, I'm applauding at this point.
What is the public's input at this point, if any, this week? Are we past that, or people can still come up?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think I should mention that the meeting started at 6 o'clock, so you can, but we did go to 12:11, so.
I was going to ask you, do you expect on a scale of 4 sleeping bags, this is the rating system we use here, how many sleeping bags are we going to bring tonight?
Well, I think I would bring, we're talking to police department and fire department. Then we'll be talking to public transit and utilities. So I would say it is a 2 sleeping bag.
Oh.
There's no set time limit for each presentation, Tim?
No.
It depends on
how many questions there are afterwards and such?
Typically, it's the questions that the presentations could run 20, 30 minutes. I mean, for example, the mayor last night spoke for a little over 30 minutes, and he wasn't pitching a particular department, but he was giving the general overview of what his budget was reflecting. Most of the budget, I'm looking at the timesheet here, most of the budget discussions ran 30, 40 minutes per item. But last night we heard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow.
Well, that's what it is.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Can I
ask you? We had 11 presentations.
One more dumb question. Why don't you do this over 2 weeks? Is it just too much over 2 weeks instead of it having busy 6-hour nights?
That's a good question, but I by Thursday night we hate each other. We all hate each other.
That's what I'm saying. So if you stretch it out over 2 weeks.
We can't stand to be in the same room. But, I think there's a certain momentum that starts to occur. And actually,
you guys should take your hiatus after these meetings, not before them.
Well, yeah, that would make some sense.
You can split your hiatus in two. One for each sleeping bag.
That's true.
So it's
I think there was a period of time that we used to do that. We'd do the budgets and then we'd take a little break. But anyway,
let your brains. Yeah. Now, 6 o'clock every night this week.
It's 6 o'clock, and basically what will happen is the fire chief will get up, or the police chief will get up. In this case, make their presentation. Then the council will have the opportunity to ask questions. Why are you buying a new fire truck? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Get the answers, and then the public is invited to come to the microphone and give their opinion and ask questions. Now, the way the city council operates is those questions are rhetorical. So when a citizen gets up and says, well, why the heck are you buying a new fire truck when you bought one last year? That question is not answered by the council, nor the not answered by the council. So basically, what will happen is the person from the public gets up, gives their opinion, and asks a question. When they sit down, then a council member will ask that question of the fire chief. You know, but we had a citizen get up and ask about why are we buying a new fire truck, and that's how they get the answer. So citizens can't expect to come to the podium, ask a question, get an immediate answer. It has to go through that parliamentary process, I'll call it. But the questions will be answered. So, and again, the meeting will start at 6 o'clock, and we will start with police. Police department goes first tonight. So,
excellent job, my friend. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you again. And then next Tuesday, we'll try to put a bow on all 57 of these.
Well, thanks for the good weather.
Welcome home, Tim.
There you go. Good job. Hey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim Mayer, city councilman. Busy, busy, busy.
Wow.
It's once a year.
Yeah. I like your idea, though. Spread it out over 2 weeks.
Feels like a crime trying to... I don't like to do things to get them done. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's what's going on there. That's not. I'm not even implying that. I was just curious to hear why a six-hour session every night, we could do three-hour sessions over 10 days. Well, because then you say, well, I don't want to go. I have a life. I don't want to be there for 2 weeks. That's why. Well, that's probably the answer Tim wanted to say, but he couldn't give us. Hey, I don't really want to be in council chambers 4 hours
a night. The other thing is for the person that wants to go and say something.
Yes.
You know, you're going to be there till midnight to try to say something. You know, that's not practical either.
That's the interesting part of the system, and I'm not sure how that works. And yes, but in this day, Tim, you're Keith. Right. I'm Glass. Nice to meet you. That's what happens when you go 8:35 and no commercial break. You gotta hold this together. But in the old days, and what do I mean by the old days? The days where you'd either show up at a council meeting,
right,
or you'd write a letter. Mm-hmm. Now you can email Tim and say, hey, dude, ask about this.
Right.
You're my guy. I'm in your district. You know, that immediate communication. So this is, I don't know if it's an antiquated way of doing it, because we've done it that way for a long
time.
It's
the new way of doing it.
Well, the new way of doing it is simply getting online and saying, right, hey, I'm not going to be at the meeting tonight. Can you please ask about the fire truck? Can you please question this? Can you please do that? Instead of sitting there and waiting your turn till midnight, waiting for the mayor's budget. Does it get people out of the process? Well, I don't know, because who's going to sit around at midnight anyhow? But what it is, it's very interesting, and hopefully I covered the questions you wanted answers to. But if not, you can always reach out to me via email, glass@WGCLradio, Facebook page, WGCL Radio, @WGCLradio on Twitter. There's 1,000 ways to get a hold of us.
What's the old saying? You never want to see how you make sausage or how government works.
Well, but you got to know, unless you don't want to know, and then, well, that's up to you.